Welcome into another week of Who's Gonna Win on KJAN. I want to thank the folks at Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union for helping us bring you the program each week as we look at eight area high school football contests. Of course, we'll look back at how we did last week and then get started on this week's picks. We've got the usual crew in here with us, Jim Field, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullinex, and myself, Chris Parks. And we'll get started and take a look back how we did last week after we listen to this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. Let's take a look at week number six here in our picks. And here's how things went for us. It was a 7-1 week for myself, and 6-2 for both Doug and for Jim, and then 4-4 for Matt. So it shook up our standings overall here a little bit, and we'll get to those overall standings here as we take a look at the individual games first. It was Stanton going on the road to East Union and making sure that East Union got their first loss of the season. 42-6 was the final there. Stanton wins it. That was a winner for everybody but Matt. He went out on a limb there and lost that one. Griswold 36-30. They hold on over Southeast Warren. And that was a winner for all of us. We all had the Tigers there. ACGC at Trainer. It was Trainer winning 25-0 in that contest. That was a winner for everybody but Doug. He went out on a limb with the Chargers and came crashing down on him. HSTW at IKM Manning. That was our broadcast game last week. It was a good, hard-fought game between those two teams. HSTW came away with a 27-16 victory. That was a winner for everybody but Matt. He had the Wolves there at home. They came up short. And also it was South Central Calhoun losing at Kemper Catholic. Kemper Catholic wins at 35-22, and we were all incorrect there. Everybody had South Central Calhoun on that one. Clarinda, 46-7 over Red Oak. They put the beat down there. That was a winner for myself and for Doug. And Matt and Jim had the Tigers in that one. And then it was Carroll edging out a win. They had to come back to beat Harlan 35-32. We all had the Carroll Tigers, so we all got that one correct. And then Glenwood with a 51-7 win over Atlantic, and we all had the Rams in that one as well. So here's how our overall standings look now on the season. Jim is back out in front by a game on his own, 33-15. 32-16 on the year now for myself and for Doug. And Matt falls to 30-18 now here at the back of the pile. So that's how we've all spread out. Of course, we're all still very close. Anything's still anybody's game here, still down the stretch as we head into week number seven.
Three limb picks though last week, and they all broke. I would suggest you leave the tree trimming to the professionals from now on.
Right.
Yeah. Duly noted.
Yeah. Get some professional work in there.
Just here for entertainment night.
All right. That's true. That's what we're all here for. Let's take a look here at this week's sheet. We'll take a look at what we've got here for you with eight new games to pick, and we'll start off here with a good matchup here in eight-man play. And this is one I think that these two teams have been waiting for a long time here, eight-man District 7. It's Exira EHK going on the road to take on Fremont Mills. And I'll go ahead and take a first look here at this one. This is a really good matchup. What makes this interesting, I think, a little bit more is the fact that I don't think Fremont Mills has really been tested here yet. They haven't been able to play a team that is really going to push them like I think the Spartans will. The Spartans have the potential to do that with Kyle Peterson and Drew Buchholz. We know that the Spartans are really good when they're at full strength. The thing that I think is the difference maker in a game like this is that Fremont Mills, I think, has a little bit more of the depth there. They can afford to have one of those guys go down and still plug in some guys to play well. Mason Venata's throwing 76% on the year. 13 touchdowns through the air. They've got a host of backs that they can plug in and run the ball well. I think the Knights have done a really good job of kind of building up their program and getting a lot of kids to buy into their system. So I think Fremont Mills wins this one, and it also helps that they're at home. But this could be an interesting game because, like I said, first time the Knights really get tested. Jim, what do you think?
I agree. I'm going to go with Fremont Mills as well. It scares me because I've done this before, thinking that there was a better team out there than Exira EHK on the field, and they somehow figure out a way to win. But they're always competitive. Just that rough start to the season. They really kind of struggled early on. Had a hard time stopping. Playing, you know, defensively, they just had a hard time stopping those first couple teams they played this year. We saw that Audubon game, and Audubon looked really good that night. Fremont Mills just on a roll, so, and they're at home, so I'm going to take the Knights in this one.
All right, that's two for the Knights. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, Fremont Mills is gets it done on both sides of the ball. You mentioned Venata's completing 75% of his passes or whatever. No interceptions. QB rating of 249.5. I think that's good. I think that's pretty good. And then Jaeger Powers. is, you know, 10 yards per carry on the ground. So, and they can get it done through the air or on the ground. You turn around and look at their defense. They're giving up less than 4 points a game. They've got three players that have at least five interceptions. So, you know, they're pretty potent offensively and defensively. And I like the way the Spartans have turned around their season, you know, four wins in a row now. But I think it's going to be a tall task going on the road. I'm going to take Fremont Mills.
All right, that's three for Fremont Mills. Matt, is it a sweep?
Well, this would be an interesting clash of a knight and a Spartan. So
a lot of swords flying around.
Yes, absolutely. So with that and all of Doug's inspirational knowledge and research, I'm going to go with Fremont Mills.
Inspirational, huh? All right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to do everything I can do for you, Matty.
He's got even his notes from his previous 6 weeks.
If I have to look back, man, you know, need reference material.
Wow, yeah. That's professional right there.
He passed all of his classes in college. No.
Was that an assumption on your part, or do you know that?
All right, a clean sweep here in our first game for Fremont Mills at home against Exira EHK. Our next matchup here is Riverside going on the road to Martinsdale St. Mary's here in a Class A District 7 contest. Bulldogs still searching to get off the schneid. Can they get a win here this week, Jim?
They can.
They can.
They won't.
Or will they? No.
I don't know. I have no idea. Neither one of these teams are lighting the world on fire right now. Martinsdale St. Mary's has picked up a victory. That's a long way to go. It's a long drive from Oakland all the way over there. I'm going to stay with the home team. I'll go with Martinsdale St. Mary's.
All right. One there for Martinsdale St. Mary's. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, that is a haul going over there for Riverside. But, you know, I just think Martinsdale St. Mary's has shown a little bit more ability to score, a little bit more potent offense. You know, they have a quarterback who can throw the ball. He does have eight interceptions. So, you know, if Riverside can capitalize on some turnovers, could pick up a win. But, you know, he's a rushing, throwing threat, basically. And I think they're going to be able to eke out a little bit more offense, and I'll take the home team.
All right. That's two there for Martinsdale St. Mary's. Matt.
Yeah, I'm going to stay with Martinsdale St. Mary's on this one as well. We have just shown – like Doug said, the ability to move the ball both through the air and on the ground, pretty balanced in there. And Riverside just, hasn't really shown anything yet here to make me think otherwise.
All right, another one there for Martinsdale, and I'm going to make it a sweep here across the board. The guy that the Riverside's going to need to stop is Chandler Craig, the quarterback. He's, thrown for 691 yards, rushed for 439. He's pretty much accounted for most of their offense. Riverside, on the other hand, when we watched them earlier in the season against Griswold, you know, they can make a play here or there. They've got some good players in certain spots, but it just seems like they can't keep something sustained and keep it going. So I think it'll be tough for them. This is a good opportunity for them, but I'm going to take Martinsdale St. Mary's in a tight game.
Baseball school, they're going to have to prove they can play football. Huh?
That's true, yeah. They've got a nice turf over there, too. They got a nice facility. All right, so a sweep there from Arnsdale St. Mary, sweep from our first two picks here so far on the program. We'll come back and take a look at a couple of 1A District 7 games, a couple of 2A District 7 games after we break for this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back now to Who's Gonna Win. We head into some more picks here on our sheet, and we're going to go to Class 1A District 7. And this is one between two teams towards the bottom of the district. Trainer is on the road at Tri-Center. The Cardinals were able to pick up their first win of the season last week. Doug, do they make it a winning streak?
Well, yeah, they got to feel a little bit better about how things are going with, you know, picking up that victory. You know, they've been a little offensively challenged themselves. We mentioned that with the previous game, but, you know, last week against ACGC, they scored more points in that game than they had in the previous five games combined. So, you know, and maybe a testament, I guess, to the competition or maybe to getting some things figured out. But I just think Tri-Center has a little bit more firepower. They've got a good running back in Tyler Paulson. They've got a couple other backs that have gotten some yards on the ground as well. So I think Tri-Center is going to take this one.
All right, that's one for the Trojans. Matt?
Yeah, I like Tri-Center's run game that they've got going here so far through this first half of the season. Trainer just not able to – I thought they'd have a little more coming into this season. So not being familiar with the program as much, but I just thought with some of their kids coming back, they'd been put up a little more of a threat than they have so far. But I'm going to go with Tri-Center, Trojans.
All right, that's two there for Tri-Center, and I'm going to agree as well. I think Tri-Center has the advantage being able to run the ball and with multiple guys. As you mentioned, they got a couple of backs that can two guys that are over 400, and then Paulson's over 600, so they can really get it done on the ground, and they really don't look to throw. On the other hand, Trainer, their quarterback, Trey Castle, he's had 122 pass attempts on the season, so they do like to put the ball up into the air, but they've turned it over a lot doing that as well. So I like Tri-Center to be able to get a win here. Jim?
When I looked at this sheet in total this week and the eight games on it, I thought, ooh, we could have a completely unanimous slate here this week. I'm going to keep it that way so far.
All right,
Tri-Center. They still have something to play for, 2-2 in the district. I mean, they're still hanging around.
Yeah, they're still hanging in there and had a decent start to their season here so far. And we'll see how things go for them here this week. Got another Class 1A District 7 matchup, and this is one that we've kind of been waiting for, one of them that we've been waiting for. There's going to be a lot of these down the stretch here in this district. It's kind of backloaded on the way the schedule worked out for these guys. But Logan Magnolia goes on the road here for a nice test at Missouri Valley. Matt, what do you think here?
Well, like you said, there's a lot of these districts that 3A7 is one of them that we'll talk about later, but where the top two or three teams have yet to meet in these final weeks. And so I think that's especially the transition into from the four-team playoff or four teams from each district to the two teams in each district does kind of give a little bit of that feel those last couple of weeks where those playoff spots are up for grabs. And so it kind of really makes it interesting down the stretch here for some of these districts. So that will be nice to see these runs here. But, yeah, this week, both these teams in my backyard where I grew up here, Harrison County matchup, Logan Magnolia and Missouri Valley. Missouri Valley, the Big Rebs, let's see how they regroup this week. They kind of may have got caught coming off of their come-from-behind win against IKM Manning the week before, looking ahead to this rivalry match for them in Logan Magnolia last week as they stumbled and gave, how do you want to say it? OABCG, their first win.
You forgot Ida.
Did I forget Ida?
Yeah.
Darn her.
She's going to be upset.
I didn't really care much for her back then. Anyway, you know, three turnovers in the name of the game, three interceptions, one of them taken back for touchdowns, for a touchdown, and their loss 39-17. Logan, after their season opening loss to St. Albert, have just quietly been running under the radar here, I think, leading up to this week. And they themselves have these next couple weeks with some tough ball games. I'm going to go with Logan Magnolia. I think Missouri Valley might have been exposed just a little bit last week, and that's going to be hard to regroup after that because it wasn't a close game. You know, they got beat up pretty good last week, and I think you know, IKM Manning, you know, probably could have took them a couple weeks ago. They just happened to Missouri Valley got an onside kick there, and a few things went their way. 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to go with Loma on the road. A short 10-mile trip down Highway 30.
Big old long road trip for Logan Magnolia. And I like Logan Magnolia in this game as well. I think the way that it has worked out for both of these teams is they haven't had a lot of those big tests here early on in the season. You know, Logan Magnolia, obviously the very tough one to start the season against St. Albert in non-district, but you know, since then they haven't had those tough teams within the district to play yet. But they've got the offense. I think they're, you know, a good balanced team. They always play sound defense, and that's how they're going to get it. You mentioned that game last week. Yeah, it was 34-17 OABCIG over Missouri Valley. So yeah, a little bit of a surprise. I'm sure that's one that not many people were looking to happen. Missouri Valley does have a nice running back in Nathan Haynes, who's already over 1,000 yards, but Logan Magnolia, as we mentioned, with the defense, I think they'll get it done. So we go with Loma. Jim?
The darn of it all is as the season was moving along and Missouri Valley was picking up a win here and a win there, and you always kind of felt like, okay, prove it again, prove it again, prove it again, and they kept doing it. They lost my trust after last week. I just can't stick my neck out there. I think Logan Magnolia has been showing more progress week to week right now. That's a huge regression right there, losing to an 0-5 team like that last week. So, yeah, I'm taking the Panthers.
All right, three for Loma. Doug, is it a sweep?
Yeah, big head scratcher there. I've got triple question marks on my notes right here, Matt. You notice that? Question mark, question mark, question mark. How did they lose that game to OBIG?
I mean, exactly.
0-5.
Exactly.
I know, and you mentioned the interceptions, and you know, I'm sure that's something they think it was just a correctable mistake, and they can protect the ball a little bit better and hang in there. But Loma is tough on defense, really tough, and they've got a running back, Brady Wilson, that's got 13 touchdowns already, long of 95, so obviously he has some breakaway speed. And I think they're just going to grind the ball out and shut down Mo Valley's offense.
All right, that's a clean sweep there for Logan Magnolia in that one. Let's move away now from 1A over to Class 2A. This is District 7 as well. And Clarinda goes on the road at East Sac County. And I guess I first get to first crack here at this one. Clarinda got their first win of the season last week over Red Oak, and in emphatic fashion, 46-7 was the final there. They've got a couple of different backs that have done some nice things for them on the ground, but their total offensive production just really hasn't been there for Clarinda throughout the season, of course, until you know last week, being able to roll it up a little bit. East Sac County, they're only 2-4 on the year, so it's not like you know they're jumping off the page as far as what they've done so far this year. But they did win a very close one last week against Shenandoah, 13-12. They've got a nice quarterback in Sam Scott that's thrown for 725 yards, six touchdowns. I think that East Sac County's got just a little bit more going on the offensive side of the ball to be able to pull off a win here. So I'm going to go with them at home against Clarinda. Jim?
Well, I mean, let's face it, this isn't a fair fight. Clarinda's just a town. East Sac County, that's an entire half a county. I mean, that's you talk about ganging up on somebody. No, that's, you know, that's a long drive. And Clarinda just hasn't, I don't know, I just haven't had any, there's no excitement there about Clarinda this year, the way they've been playing. East Sac County at home.
All right, that's two there for ESAC County. Doug.
Well, you mentioned their quarterbacks, you know, gotten some good yards through the air. You know, not a great completion percentage, but, completing a little less than 40% of his passes. I think that's hurt them in some of the games that they've lost. I think I'm gonna go with a little limb pick. I bet here I'm gonna take Clarinda, going on the road. You know, they were able to generate some offense last week against Red Oak. You know, I think it's definitely a rebuilding year for Clarinda. They've had a couple good seasons here recently, and I think they're obviously rebuilding if they're 1-5. But Clarinda beat Red Oak a little bit more handily versus how East Sac County played, and I know played them in different times of the year. But I'm gonna take the Cardinals.
All right, that's one there for the Cardinals. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, Clarinda, 398 yards on the ground last week against Red Oak, a depleted Red Oak team. Like, they had a few key kids that were sitting out due to discipline reasons. But you also look at Clarinda's first five games, you know, Atlantic, Creston, Underwood. When they got to district, then it was Underwood, Kemper, South Central, Calhoun, so your top few teams there. And then last week, able to kind of get the offense rolling. They kind of went back to what they knew best out of the single wing. I think they were trying to versatile their offense a little bit more this year at the beginning of the season, but they kind of went back to that run game that they had become so well known for. The kids feel more comfortable with it. Last week, ESAC County, with their win over Shenandoah, they really didn't do anything fancy, 179 yards. One of their touchdowns was a punt return for a touchdown, so they very well easily could have came up on the short end of it. So I'm not going to leave you hanging, Doug. I'm going to go with you, so I'm going to go with Clarinda as well.
All right, we split that one up there, two for Clarinda, two for ESAC County. One more game before we take a break here, and this is also in Class 2A District 7, as Underwood goes on the road to take on South Central Calhoun. And, Jim, you'll get first look here at this one.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with the home team here, I think. South Central Calhoun, I think, has played just a touch of a better schedule. I just was trying to look and compare what they've been doing this year, and again, another long drive. South Central Calhoun has played pretty well. Thought they'd beat Kemper Catholic here recently and kind of stumbled a little bit there, but Kemper Catholic played a little bit better football, and I thought they were going to that night as well. So, but I'm gonna take South Central Calhoun. I think Underwood's still not quite to that level yet.
All right, that's one there for South Central Calhoun. Doug?
Yeah, Eagles are a team that like to generate their offense through the air. We've got nine touchdowns passing and only five on the ground. So, you know, that's can be effective, certainly. But, you know, South Central Calhoun, they've lost two games, but they were really to tough teams. I mean, they lost to Carroll at the beginning of the year. And I think, obviously, as we know in our district, Carroll's pretty good. You know, to Kemper Catholic last week, as Jim mentioned. I just think they – as Jim said, they kind of have a tougher – they've had a tougher schedule and think they've got a good quarterback, Hunter Mulbauer. So I'm going to take the home team.
All right, that's two there for South Central Calhoun. Matt.
Yeah, South Central Calhoun's been able to figure everybody else out except for the community of Carroll this year. but they've also generated 600 more yards of offense than Underwood this year with their balanced attack. Home game, I think, Kemper, they scored three touchdowns in a matter of 80 seconds last week in that come-from-behind win for them. So outside of that, I think they'll definitely regroup. So I'm going to go with South Central Calhoun as well.
All right, another one there for them, and I'm going to make it a clean sweep. Doug had mentioned Hunter Mulbauer, the quarterback. He's played really well, 900 yards, 12 touchdowns, just two interceptions, and it looks like they kind of mix it up in the run game as well. Isaiah Humphrey's a really good athlete for Underwood. He's had four receiving touchdowns and one running for them, but I think they're just a couple of horses shy of being able to compete here in this one. So go with South Central Calhoun there for the sweep. And we've got a couple of games left here on the schedule, but we will take a break before we come back and pick those. Back in a moment here on Who's Gonna Win.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. We head to our final two picks, and these are both out of Class 3A District 7. And the first one here is a doozy. This is one that's really important here for both of these teams. Creston goes on the road at Glenwood, and a lot of playoff implications on the line here. Doug, what do you think?
Well, you had to make me pick first on this one, didn't you? This is a tough, tough game. I mean, you look at the schedules, first of all. I think Creston, you know, they're kind of coming to their meat of their schedule. They really have not played a lot of tough opponents so far. I mean, they had Harlan week three, you know, and that was the game that they were gashed the most on defense. I mean, they gave up 49 points to Harlan, mainly through the air that game. The other five opponents that they've played really, you know, weren't close. Whereas Glenwood has already played a little bit, you know, one of their tough games against Carroll, lost a close game against Carroll. I think they led at one point in that game. But, you know, then again, you turn around and look at their schedule. They lost, or they gave up 41 points to Harlan as well, you know. So you kind of, you wonder about that defense against the pass, I guess. But, I don't know. Creston, you know, you give the ball to Chase Schultz and grind it out. They've got a big offensive line. Their quarterback has shown the ability to score a little bit. He's a pretty athletic sophomore. Then again, Glenwood's, I don't know, eeny, meeny, miny.
I think we're all in the same boat, Doug. So.
Mo. I don't. I think Glenn, you know, and I unfortunately missed the Glenwood Atlantic game, so I didn't get to see the Rams in person. I'm curious about their defense, but I'm going to take Creston with the win on the road. A close game, grind it out on the ground, and ride your state champion wrestler and running back to victory.
All right, it's one for the Panthers. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, if there's you know, anybody that can evaluate the last couple of weeks, you know, we've seen both these teams, Creston 2 weeks ago and Glenwood last week. Atlantic's played both of them here. You know, going back, you talked about the defense. You know, Creston held Atlantic to 87 yards last week, and I think Atlantic was only able to come up with about 90 yards this week. So, you know, very comparable. I kind of went back for Creston. I looked back at their first game. They played Boone, who's sitting atop. And I'm not so sure if, well, their only loss, obviously, to Creston, but they're sitting atop of their district up there. And Creston was able to rattle off, you know, 282 yards of offense or rushing that night. And like you said, Smallwood, he's completing 65% of his passes, no interceptions, nothing fancy. He's also running the ball. He's got over 300 yards of rushing. Then you can go to Carlson and you go to Swank on Creston's offense as well. And I think last week, you know, Winterset with Ben Schiff, yeah, he got his yards, but they also pretty much kept them out of the end zone. So I think they can tighten up their defense. I'm going to have to give this small edge to Creston, even though, it'll be a close game because Glenwood They have a lot of weapons as well with Decker and Bloom and Loffelbeam and their quarterback, Wilberdeen. You know, he's been there for 3 years. So I'm just going to give that small edge to Creston.
All right, that's two there for the Panthers. And you guys have already kind of talked about Chase Schultz a lot here. We know all about him. He's a really good player, and has been getting it done with 918 yards already on the season on the ground, 17 touchdowns, which is unheard of rushing football. But Glenwood, on the other hand, Colton Wilwarding, 14 touchdowns through the air, 897 yards passing. Cole Loffelbein's up around 600 yards rushing. They've been able to, you know, kind of balance it out a little bit, and I think maybe a little bit better than Creston has. You know, this is a tough one. I think if it was on the road, I would definitely take Creston, but given the situation, it being at home, Glenwood knows they already let one go against Carroll, and they're backed against the door here. They don't win this game, they're pretty much out, because they have to have somebody else really stumble for them to get into the postseason. They need to win this game, because Creston and Carroll don't play until the very last week of the season, and of course by then it won't matter if they lose. So I think with the motivation, and interestingly enough, Glenwood was able to handle them last year. 56-35, Glenwood won that game last year against the Creston. So I'm going to go with Glenwood here. I think they'll get one at home. Jim.
Okay, very good. Yeah, it's a tough game to pick. I mean, this is why I hated it when they expanded to four teams out of each district going to the playoffs, because it watered it down, and it eliminated some of the really cool games you were going to have during, because so many other teams were making the playoffs. Now I realize it's a participation thing with the Athletic Association, whatever, but I'm a competitor. I want to see these kind of games during the year. This is the first round of the playoffs, yeah, for these two teams, especially for Glenwood. Mm-hmm. I agree with everything Matt said and whatever Doug said. I'm going to take Creston.
Limmer.
All right. Limmer with the Rams at home. I'll take that. I mean, it's going to be a good game.
Of course you would there, Mr.
Yeah.
Alumni.
Well, I know, yeah. I probably influenced my decision a touch, but yeah.
I forgot the loss from last year. There's more motivation for the Creston.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, you can turn that around, too. I mean, it gives Glenwood confidence knowing they can beat them, but it also gives Creston the, hey, we're going to get you back for what you did to us last year as well. So we'll see how it goes. That's going to be a really good one to watch, and we'll keep our eyes on that score, I'm sure, throughout the night. Other one going on in Class 3A District 7 that we'll be covering for you is Atlantic going on the road to take on ADM. And Matt, you get a first look here at this one.
Okay. Well, you got ADM. You know, they've been putting some points up on the board. A couple weeks ago against Harlan, they put up about 30 points or so. Came up with a win last week against Denison, 42-20, averaging. They'd like to throw the ball a little over 200 yards a game passing, and just under 100 on the ground. So in offensively, Atlantic still can't get the ball rolling forward. So with that, I'm just going to go with ADM at home.
All right, ADM there for the win, and I'm going to agree with Matt. I'm going to take ADM. They've got obviously one player that Atlantic will really need to focus on, Sam McCartney. He's getting it done both throwing and running the ball. He leads them to both categories there for the Tigers, and I think they're going to be having a little bit of an edge here in this one. As you mentioned, the offense just hasn't been able to be found yet here this year for Atlantic. Haven't gotten enough figured out there up front to get something going, and ADM's got a little bit of an edge, so I'll take them. Jim?
Yeah, what you said about the offense of Atlantic, I mean, that's it. The problem is the defense of Atlantic, which was limiting opponents early in the season, is not so much anymore. They're also running into some pretty good teams, yeah, too. Atlantic's going to pick up another win, I think, somewhere along the line here before the season's over. I just don't know when it's going to be. I'm going to go with ADM.
All right. That's three there for ADM. Doug?
Well, I'm going to make it a sweep for ADM. We just got to – got to get that offense controlling the ball a little bit more, taking advantage of whatever the defense gives you for the Trojans, and I'll be there rooting them on. And I hope I'm 7-1 this week with a lone mistake this game. But I'm going to take ADM today.
All right. Undomesticated feline.
Yes, it is.
All right. Took Creston, too. That's why.
Yep.
All right. Got them all figured out. That's going to wrap up our picks here this week. Thanks for joining us for Week 7 here on Who's Gonna Win. Stay with us. We'll have high school football, that game between Atlantic and ADM. You can join myself and Mike Smith for the broadcast here this evening as we get going with the pregame here at 6:30, kickoff at 7:30 here tonight. Thanks to Nishna Valley Credit Union and also to Ag Business Associates for bringing you the program. For Jim Field, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullenix, I'm Chris Parks. Thanks for joining us for Who's Gonna Win.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.